Welcome, welcome, welcome to Caching in the Northwest, the only podcast dedicated to geocaching in the Great Pacific Northwest. We'll talk about caches and caches unique to this little corner of the continent. So, while you're calculating the hours of daylight, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
And we can't do caching in the Northwest until we bring in our podcast partner, Primate. Some say he receives a bulk discount on his geocaching.com membership. And others say he's whittled a bison tube from a rusted railroad tie. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Hey, guys, do you have any idea how long it takes to whittle a bison tube? This is a lot of work.
Well, that's what else are you going to do in the cold Canadian winters when you have feet and feet of snow?
Well, fortunately, you know, my feet are hands as well, so it helps with the whittling process. But
yeah.
Anyways, you know what? I am glad to be here with you guys. This is awesome. I love podcasting with you guys. It's so much fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that nice?
And it's almost Christmas, and I'm on a podcast with two of my best friends, and life just doesn't get any better than that.
What a nice guy.
And I found a geocache today.
You could just end the episode right now. It doesn't get That's it. We're done.
Hey, folks. We've had a great episode. See you next week.
I'm such a great actor. All right. Hey, you know what? A quick reminder that we do appreciate the support of our patrons who help to keep this podcast coming every week. If you want to know more about supporting the show, click the Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. And speaking of the CachingNW.com website, I don't know if you guys know, but Chris of the Northwest has been working hard on that website. And now, if you want to watch the show live, you don't have to go and find an obscure link to YouTube or anything. You can just go to CachingNW.com/watch-live. Each week, it'll be up there and ready to go. Is that not correct, Chris?
That is not correct. No, wait. That is completely correct.
Yeah.
Awesome.
CachingNW.com/watch-live or north of the border, CachingNW.com/watch-live.
Is it that much different?
Actually, no. North of the border, it's watch-live.
Oh, okay.
Live. You must live.
Yeah. Live is just evil backwards. Oh. So, speaking of north of the border, for tonight's episode, we're going to talk about what to expect if you're going after some of the top geocaches in Vancouver, British Columbia.
Ooh, I know that place.
I've heard of it.
I've cached there.
Oh. Yeah, you have. Yeah, you have.
Nice. It's a good place. But, you know, we can't do this until we do the segment that I think most people like the most, the glow.
Is it true?
Yeah. You know, they're going to skip the other parts of the show and go right to the glow. So whether you wrote it.
Should we just index the glow every week so people.
Definitely.
Just hit a button that says go to glow.
Yeah.
I love it.
So whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it because great logs simply make geocaching better. You know what? To send us your glow, all you have to do is send an email to feedback@cachingnw.com. Better yet, call into 253-693-TFTC or use that voicemail tool right there on the website. And you can show us how you choose to glow.
That's right. And this glow, well, it's a two-parter from Team Finn. There's a DNF. And I found it. It's always good when you can erase that DNF and put a smiley there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Team Finn says, we were out for our daily cache, and I didn't read the entire cache page. So the first log is the DNF log. This is from Bad Magical Coins. I hate those Bad Magical Coins.
I like good magical coins.
Yeah, we all like good magic.
But don't they disappear?
Maybe.
You need is good magical beans.
Yes. Oh. Yes.
But it cost you a cow.
Well, but the end justifies the beans.
Don't have a cow.
So Bad Magical Coins is GCY7MX. And the DNF log reads, this cache looked pretty good for our streak, nearby and off a road. Figured we should access the cache from 256. We drove over 18. I think these are all streets and highway numbers, if you're curious. And made it to an interesting area. We pulled around a gate and saw a huge valley, in quotes, that looked like a rock quarry. We continued down the road a little bit, and it seemed a little sketchy. Gravel road, bushes on either side, drop off on the left. I made the call that we should probably turn around. But wait, we couldn't. Slowly, we backed out and saw some trucks that were probably giving us strange looks. We turned around and went for another cache on 256th. After getting home and thoroughly researching this cache, I noticed there were parking coordinates. Long sigh. Usually, I see these things on the page, but I guess I was oblivious today. We'll find this one another day, now that I understand how to read. Thanks for the adventure. Yeah, I think I've done stuff just like that, too.
Mm-hmm. So that's just part one, though, right?
That was just part one. So the second part of the glow is found it. This is erasing the DNF and putting a smiley. So it reads, today I actually read the entire cache page. Yes, even the parking coordinates. Today, we successfully navigated to the parking area and recognized that there was a trail. We walked through in the rain and made it to ground zero about 20 feet from the quarry road where we were just 10 days ago. After some searching, we found a cache and not a spooky road. Signed the log, turned around, and walked back to the car. And they finished it with TFTC number 768, which is a milestone, right? Any number's a milestone.
Every number. I only found cache 768 one time.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for sending that in, Team Finn. That was fun. It's neat to see your adventure unfold in reading glows. And you know what? Even for a DNF, nice log.
Yeah.
Yeah. IHAM says, wait, reading the whole page? Is that legal?
Well,
as long as you don't ask for directions.
Regardless of whether it's legal or not, you should probably do it.
And anyways, never, you know, accept what? Directions from a person on a riding lawnmower.
Yes.
Yet rule number 14. Hey, if there is a milestone cache find that you are celebrating, why not call it in like our friend Wet Coaster did to 253693TFTC so that we can share it in your own voice with the entirety of the Northwest geocaching community and beyond. So, Hey, you know, the other option is use the voicemail tool on the website. That works too.
Yeah. Well, since our friend Wet Coaster called in a milestone, let's go ahead and listen to it.
Hi, this is Wet Coaster calling from sunny Surrey, BC. Even when it's raining, it's sunny in Surrey. Calling it a milestone event, actually two milestone events. First one is Green Words holding her very first event today in the rain. And for myself, this is find number 2000. And I even have a member of the show with me here today.
Hey, everybody, it's Land Monkey. I'm here with Wet Coaster and Green Words and, I don't know, about 15, 20 other geocachers huddling under shelters in the rain because we all love these two guys. This guy and girl. Great local geocachers. And just really happy that you guys held the event. And Gary, congratulations on your 2,000 milestone. That's awesome.
Thank you. It was a bit of a rush to the end. We had to get 19 caches yesterday.
Isn't that how milestone runs usually go? It's that's tomorrow. Okay.
It's either that or, oh, yeah, I can't find anything for another week and a half.
Right. Yeah, or that. All right, well, congratulations again, sir.
Thank you very much, and we'll be watching on Thursday. Bye.
You know, our co-host Land Monkey loves the show so much he even calls in so he can get more airtime.
I'm telling you, yeah.
Because I love the sound of my own voice. So any other way I can get myself onto this show as many times as possible, that's the goal. So.
Oh.
That was
double
fun.
Double dose of Land Monkey right here on Thursday night.
Head so big I can't get through the door. So that was a lot of fun. So Greenwards, thank you very much for hosting your very first event. Very well organized. And I have to say, there was Timmy's coffee and Timbits.
Ooh.
So I mean, that's a perfect event.
The food of your people?
The native food of my people. That's right. And it was a lot of fun. And it was milestones for both of them. So that was really cool. And I got to see Pinkerton Boy's brand new doggy. They got a new puppy.
Oh, nice. So that was everybody awesome. Likes a puppy.
Who doesn't like a puppy?
Evil people. Hashtag Hitler didn't like puppies. And look what happened to him.
Yeah. You always know you have a losing argument when you have to bring Hitler into it. So that's all I'm going to say. That's one of my key philosophy points.
Yeah. People
is, if you have to bring Hitler into your argument, you've pretty much already lost.
I think perhaps kittens don't like puppies, but that's debatable. But if our listeners want to share anybody else that may not like puppies or anything else you'd like to discuss in the after show, throw it in the chat room there and put the hashtag FTAS. That's for the after show. And we'll talk about geocaching updates, stories, and anything else that you have hashtag FTAS in the chat.
We absolutely will. And before we get any further into tonight's topic, we do have a couple of news items to throw over to you guys. First of all, a link that we're going to share in the notes and possibly the chat, because even if I read this link out, you're going to, dear listener, crash your car while you're trying to write this down. So just check the show notes later. You'll get the link. But the article states, welcome 2018 with healthy, active outdoor fun. First day hikes, ring in the new year with one or even two of the more than three dozen first day hikes. That's with capital letters. So this is like a thing. First day hikes. It's happening at 34 parks statewide. I assume those are Washington state parks.
Yes, these are all Washington state parks.
There you go. So this year, on January 1st, Washington State Parks are offering hikes, bike rides, snow adventures, and even some science and history lessons, maybe even geology lessons.
Yes, there are some.
It's a form of science. Mm. All right. They say, we've added new hikes in addition to some old favorites to the list. You're sure to find a hike that appeals to you, body and mind. And don't forget to get your first day hikes pin as a memento of your outing. Hey, that sounds awesome. So they've got a list of a few of the different ones. So obviously, January 1st, head to any of these locations, check out the link, and it's a place where you can go join up with a bunch of other folks, do some hiking, probably find some geocaches. Maybe you'll be the only geocacher there and you can convert some muggles. But anyways. Not on this
one hike. There are 34, but one of them on Camino Island is new this year. Learn to geocache on this family-friendly walk. Ranger Tina Dinsel Pedersen will have GPS units to use on the walk as you practice your geocaching treasure hunting technique. You will learn about cache containers, how to log a geocache and trackables. Working with a group can add more success for new cachers and those who have a few finds under their belts. We will look for six caches on this walk, including one of the oldies placed in 2001 when geocaching was just beginning. So that's at Camino Island State Park. They're going to go on the Howard Adams Trail. Starts at 10 o'clock, 1.1 miles.
That's not a long hike.
Mm-mm. Not at all.
Very, very cool. Nice. All right. So something to do, you guys. So if you're looking for something to do, there is something to do.
I went last year on a first day hike. And my wife and I went there, absolutely loved it. Went to a little state park we'd never been to before. So I found a geocache or two. We learned about the history. In fact, I talked about it on the show of the, now I can't remember, because it was really important. And, you know, anyway, these they built projects like during the Depression. Anyway, that was a lot of fun.
The Works Project WPA thing or whatever.
Yeah, somebody in the show notes will, or in the chat will tell me what it is here in just a moment. Yeah. I'm kind of stalling to see if they come up with it, but we need to move on.
Yeah.
Well, while we're waiting there, other news, Geocaching Blog this week announced more improvements to the Edit Cache Listing page. So if you've hidden a cache or a cache owner, you know about the cache listing page, yes? They said, we're excited to announce big improvements to that page. It is now easier to create cache pages with fewer issues so that caches are published more smoothly. Mm-hmm. Don't we all like smooth publishing?
I like smooth caches.
Yeah. So for cache owners who've used the page for a long time, the changes might take some getting used to, but geocaching.com is confident that once you are familiarized with the new page, you will find it much, much easier to get your cache pages ready for the community, ready for the caching world, ready for those first day hike people to come find your cache. And not just cache owners benefit from this. The volunteer reviewers. Do we know any volunteer reviewers? It seems like... Nah, never mind. You know, many of them review hundreds or thousands of caches each year. Some just do like four. But many of them do hundreds or thousands. And the smooth process now with this new page is going to reduce the issues that come up and make it easier for them. So, you know, they don't have to spend all of their time reviewing your cache or my lame cache. They can actually get out and find some geocaches on their own.
Nice.
So maybe you've never hidden a cache. Get out and hide one and go check out that new cache listing page. It's easier to use than ever before.
Are you sure? Yeah.
Well, I could tell you about some of the updates to it if you want to keep going into detail, or we could send people over to the blog to read about it. How far do you want me to go down the rabbit hole?
Why don't we go down the rabbit hole, hashtag FATAS?
That sounds great.
Love it. One more thing we want to talk about is Signal the Frog, because we all love Signal.
Who doesn't love Signal?
You know, after a busy time of meeting with thousands of geocachers at Mega and Giga events all over the world, Signal the Frog is ready for a summer vacation. Yes, that's right. He's packing flip-flops, a snorkel, and many bottles of amphibian-proof sunscreen. Because he's headed to Australia.
Australia.
I didn't know there was amphibian-proof sunscreen. And wouldn't that not work on him if it's proof? Anyway.
Maybe it's like 100 proof.
Oh, it's 100 proof, yeah. We're excited to share Signal's next destination as he continues to celebrate geocaching around the world, visiting the Southern Hemisphere for Australia Day 2018. Our favorite frog is planning to join in on the festivities and barbecue like an Aussie would.
How does that burn?
Upside down.
Hopefully
it burns from the top to the bottom.
Okay.
What could go wrong?
So all you have to do to take part in this celebration is...
go to Australia?
That's it.
That's it.
Okay.
No.
The end.
is host or attend an event Friday, January 26th through Sunday, January 28th. And you get an Australia Day 2018 souvenir for free.
For free?
I can afford that.
Yeah.
It burns down under.
That's a great comment. Yeah. How does Aussie wood burn? It burns down under. Okay. So.
I have other things that do that too.
I am going to do my best to attend an event on one of those dates and earn my Australia Day 2018 souvenir. I really would like to earn it in Australia, but I don't think that's going to happen. So maybe I'll just hang out down under something else.
Well, you know, if you came to Canada, you'd still in the Commonwealth. You could earn it in the Commonwealth.
I could.
Hmm.
Might be able to make that work.
There you go.
Now, of course, Washington State is just down under Canada, so.
That is true.
Anyway.
And Oregon is down under Washington.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Canada.
Yes.
You know, we're going to introduce a new topic to the podcast tonight. We're calling it Top Cache Tips. I'm going to slow down when I say that phrase because I have a feeling that if I tried to speed through that phrase,
what could go wrong?
Cache Tips could possibly come out with some embarrassing phrase. Tonight, we're going to start looking at Vancouver, BC. Not Vancouver, WA.
No, absolutely. So, yeah, we're going to talk about Vancouver. So maybe to get us started, I'll give a little bit of an outline for anybody who's listening to the podcast who hasn't had the pleasure to come up here and check out our beautiful city, just to give you a bit of a sense of the layout, the geography, the neighborhoods, and a little bit about the transit, how to get here, and how to get around when you're here. We won't go into any huge detail on this, but, you know, if you've got questions about the neighborhoods or the transit or anything like that, hashtag FATASIT. We'll go into depth in the after show. All right. So first of all, there's Vancouver City proper, which is right around the Stanley Park area. That's the part of the downtown Vancouver part and the extended Vancouver that people are most familiar with. And then there's what's called Metro Vancouver, which is the larger Greater Vancouver area. It used to be called Greater Vancouver. Now it's technically called Metro Vancouver. Okay. Metro Vancouver consists of the city of Vancouver, Burnaby, Richmond, which is the city that has our international airport, the two cities that make up the North Shore, which is North Vancouver and West Vancouver, an area we call the Tri-Cities, which is Port Moody, Coquitlam, and Port Coquitlam, and then south of the Fraser River, which cuts its way right through and kind of divides the Metro Vancouver area in half, south of the Fraser River, we have Tsawwassen, which is the city where the ferry terminals are, Delta, Surrey, Langley. Then we get out to the east and the north side of the Fraser River, but to the east of all the rest of this stuff, Pitt Meadows, Maple Ridge. And then at that point, technically, you've reached the end of the Metro Vancouver area. Now you're into the Fraser Valley, which includes areas like Abbotsford, Chilliwack, Hope, and then up into Gold Country. So that's the layout. Now, transit, getting around. So if you're driving up here, you're probably going to come, if you're coming from the States, you're going to come up Highway 99, most likely. That's taking you south to north through the Metro Vancouver area. If you're coming in from the east, you're going to take Highway 1 or the Trans-Canada Highway, which goes east and west, cutting through the Vancouver area. Now, another important thing to know, we used to actually have tolls on a couple of our bridges here, but they've been removed for now. But it's a,
Or not.
Or not, depending upon when the tolls were incurred. but if you're driving there currently, you are not subject to tolls.
Nobody will tell you nothing.
No. Now, a lot of people like to cash by transit, Subway Mark. and we have a system, a above and below grade train system, transit system called SkyTrain. Consists of three lines, the Expo Line, Millennium Line, and the Evergreen Line. And those pretty much intersect through most of the core of Metro Vancouver. A pretty decent bus system that interconnects with the SkyTrain system. And a unique form of transit that is part of the transit system, the TransLink transit system we have here, that takes you from the downtown Vancouver over to the Lonsdale Quay in North Vancouver. And that's called the C-Bus. So that's also a very cool way to get around. And as I said before, City of Richmond is where our international airport is, and there's a SkyTrain station right from that airport that'll take you into downtown Vancouver and all other places. So, wow, that was a whole lot of information, Jesper.
That is a whole lot of information.
But I wanted to give everybody, if you're listening to the podcast and you haven't been here, just sort of a sense of scope, scale, and that there are a lot of good ways to get around.
And, you know, when I was up there, I remember the bridge tolls. there was actually a whole toll booth plaza there. And while I was there, this truck came by and just hit one and just demolished it. Just splinters. It was a terrible disaster. But miraculously, while I'm standing there, this repair crew appeared out of nowhere, picked up all the pieces of the toll gate, pasted them together with this white creamy substance, and it was good as new and nothing flat. And I asked the guy, "What is that miracle substance that you use?" And they said, "Oh, well, that's toll gate booth paste."
Thanks, Dad. All right.
Wow.
I was wondering where you were going with this. We don't have toll booths. We never have. Okay.
Well, that, you know, the booth paste.
Oh, gosh. Wow. That was silly.
That, I can't believe. I wouldn't have been able to get that out. You did a great job. What I want to know is, do you have a computer network that controls the sky trains? And what would you call that?
Skynet?
Skynet, yeah.
Is that where you're going?
Yeah.
Okay. Just figured I'd lob that softball over for you.
Okay, well, speaking of transit, and I've now derailed everything.
With Chris, your booth paste?
On topic.
So you're coming up here and... The reason you're coming up here is you want to go geocaching. So, Chris,
yeah,
what are some great ways to identify what geocaches you want to go after? And then after that, we'll start talking about some specifics.
I did.
Okay. Is it great?
Yeah. Okay.
That's the first time I actually purposely put an in there. So, easiest way is to simply go through and cherry pick. Look at the map, say, I want to hit this cache. I want to hit this cache. I think it's easy. Add those to a list on geocaching.com. Right. That's the quickest and easiest way. You can do a pocket query, get the entire city or tri-cities or maybe just two cities. I found that I could get in like six pocket queries pretty much all that area that Land Monkey mentioned. And that's going to give you 6,000 caches to work from. If you're not finding what you're looking for in 6,000 caches, go buy a data plan. I don't know what else to say. That.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of caches in that area.
There is. You know, I can't understand how some people get these huge caching streaks, and then I go up there and it's like, oh, well, look at the cache density in this area. That makes it relatively easy. I still wouldn't be able to do it, but other people can do it relatively easily. And the weather is favorable enough. Yes, you're going to get snow, but it's not going, you know, in the lower mainland, it's not going to be super dense and deep as it is in,
you know, far to get the good snow, which is on the mountains on the North Shore.
Yeah. So there are, you know, of course, ways to always keep that cache streak going. But the lower mainland has incredible cache density. And as we're going to talk about, great quality caches as well. These are caches. We're going to talk about caches with high favorite points. And ones that when you're in the area, you really should hit. They're going to be the highlight of your trip of caching.
Yeah, favorite points are a great way to figure out which caches you want to look for. And, you know, I did that recently. I was visiting family this week and did the same thing, found some caches with high favorite points. It's always great. But another way, and a really, really good way, I think even better than favorite points, talk to locals. Find a geocacher in the area. Find somebody that, if not, lives in the area that has been to the area and cached there. And last week, well, we shared that we were going to talk about this topic. And you wonderful listeners chimed right in before we were even finished with last week's episode and started contributing your suggestions. And wow, we appreciate that. So a few caches that were recommended by you listeners. So maybe you suggested this one here. GC1DD, that's Delta Delta. That's BC's oldest cache. Treehugger, BC's first cache. So that's some great ones. That's GC. That's the same. Is that the same one there? Land Monkey, yep. GC1DD. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. Oldest cache, first cache. 274 favorite points, probably in counting. It's a difficulty 2, terrain 2.5. Doesn't sound like it should be all that difficult. I could manage to probably sever an artery or bleed out on a 2.5 difficulty, but 2.5 terrain. But you hardy Canadian folk, I'm sure you could do that in your sleep. It's West Canyon Trail, Pacific Spirit Regional Park. And Land Monkey has some personal notes. You need to watch for a small side trail off that West Canyon Trail to make that find. I'm sure that he would be happy to share more hints with you at a later date if you really need them. Accessible year-round. And the attributes note 24-hour access. It is advised to do it during daylight hours.
Which you only have like four of right now because we're at the shortest day of the year.
Yes. If you wanted a lot of daylight hours, today is not the day to go out. And following our topic just recently of transit, the trailhead can be reached easily by bus or motor vehicle with ample parking nearby.
Very nice. Another one that GeoNavPros brought up was Chopsticks Not Included. That's GC5 Kilo Beta Zulu 5. That's in Burnaby. It's a short drive for Vancouver. It's not great for transit, specifically to this location. Also, KMACD, by the way, one of our newest patrons, thank you very much, suggested GB Puzzle Box for those who enjoy electronic gadget caches. Ooh, that is GC4 Romeo Tango Hotel November, also in Burnaby, BC.
Nice.
There you go. Very nice. And we've done both of those caches. They're both excellent caches by different folks. The Puzzle Box 2 is by the Geek Boys, who've been on this program before. So, you know, some pretty neat stuff. So definitely worth checking out. Now, let's take ourselves right into actual Vancouver City and talk about a couple of the caches that we would suggest if you're going into Vancouver City. They're definitely worth the visit. And the first one is a virtual cache. And not many of those around. So when you spot one, you kind of want to get at that one. This one's called Monuments, Plaques, and Statues. Oh, my. And it is GC58 Echo 9. Has over 148 favorite points. It's a difficulty 2 terrain 2. The general location is in Stanley Park, which is just northwest of the downtown Vancouver area. Like I said, it's one of the very few virtual caches in the greater Vancouver area. It's a fun exercise to complete that one. You start in beautiful Stanley Park, so, you know, how can you go wrong from there?
Yeah, you really can't. Stanley Park is beautiful. We didn't have time to cache a lot in there, but I've been there. It's a great, great park. So in the Vancouver City area there, the Chicken Channel. If you want to do urban caching, this one's not going to take you down any trails or necessarily scenic byways, but it is a great cache. GC5FN87, Foxtrot November 87, 85 plus favorite points, and it's near Fraser Street and Kingsway. Now, this one, it's an urban cache. It's right in the neighborhood. You can take transit, you can bike, a motor vehicle, and it was a geocaching.com geocache of the week. I've done this one twice because I went back to that location with some different people and I took them to it. So it's a lot of fun. Best done in spring and summer, but really I think it's accessible year-round.
Yes. But for the full experience of what that cache is about, I would suggest spring or summer. Yeah. Right on. Next one I'm going to throw out there is a mystery cache, a puzzle cache. It's a library cache, and this is, to me, one of the really well-done library caches. I've seen a few done in the same way, and a lot of them are great. I always enjoy these, especially this time of year. Library caches are awesome when the weather's maybe not so great. So this one's called Ex Libris. It's GC4 Golf Zulu Golf Bravo. Over 160 favorite points for that guy. It's a difficulty 2.5 terrain 1. So wheelchair accessible, and yeah, it is a actual train one for that one. It's in the Vancouver Public Library, the downtown branch, which is just an amazing piece of architecture anyways. So one of my favorite library caches I've ever done. It's an amazing location to visit. Really, it's not much more that I would say other than put it on your must find list and check the library hours, because you do need to go into the library to get the cache. Yeah, if you're going to be in downtown Vancouver, put it on your list.
Well, another one is the Richmond Geo Tour. In fact, there's not just one. There are two current Richmond Geo Tours. They are a great set of caches. You know, several of the caches in each one of the tours has well over 75 favorite points. There are earth caches, there are multis, there are gadgets, and of course, there are plenty of traditionals. Mm-hmm. Now, you may not have noticed in the chat, but GeoNavPros keeps bringing up a particular one that he seems to be fond of. That would be GC6 X-ray Beta 25, and it's called Forest Mechanisms. Now, I remember doing this one. I have personally only completed the second Geo Tour. I've done a couple of the first Geo Tour, but I haven't completed that one yet. I may yet go back and finish all of those. We found this one with the group. In fact, we found it with GeoNav Pros. So
nice.
He just stood back, had a big grin on his face while we figured this one out, and he wasn't going to say a word. But a very well done cache. In fact, they all are very well done caches. So if you're in the area, get the Richmond Geo Tours. I personally did the Canada 150. But the first Geo Tour is also available. And I would assume, Land Monkey, they're going to keep up with the Geo Tours.
It seems that way. And you can still, I think they're out of coins, but you can get a trackable tag. So like a Cashkins type tag, a very nice one for completing the Geo Tour still. So I think there's still plenty of those. It is a fantastic Geo Tour. City of Richmond has done a lot in the last couple of years to really promote geocaching. They've taken it. Just taken it to heart and been amazing. Just fantastic. Really enjoy it out there. What else was I going to say with respect to City of Richmond Geo Tours? I guess just that it's a lot of fun. It's a great Geo Tour. There's not a lot of Geo Tours in BC. There's the City of Richmond Geo Tour. There's Gold Country. Kind of gapping. I can't think of any other Geo Tours up here. All the other ones I do are in other parts of
I was going to say there may not be geotours, but there are a series of caches and geo art and such.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, speaking of art, if one was looking for an area to focus on when they're coming up to the Metro Vancouver area to go geocaching, obviously we've talked about the greater or the actual Vancouver city area. And there's, of course, Stanley Park, which one should always visit. There's a few great other locations. But one of the areas that maybe wouldn't be on your list, but I would suggest to consider, is the University of British Columbia. Now, the University of British Columbia borders on the parklands where BC's oldest cache is. So if you were going out to find that, you're going to basically almost be at the university campus anyhow. Now, so I've mentioned the BC's oldest cache is effectively there at the university. It's just off of the university in the what are called the endowment lands. But those endowment lands have an amazing trail system to them with tons of geocaches. Plus, there's some really good earth caches there. Now, I am going to give myself a shameless plug, so full disclosure. I would recommend checking out the cache, the earth cache, GC5 Echo Victor Victor 5. It's called the Wall of Earth Cache Fame. And yes, it is my earth cache, but I think it's pretty good. I just got to say that. But it's a difficulty 2.5. It's a terrain one, and it is a terrain one. I would say the geology lesson difficulty for that one is very introductory. It's an easy earth cache to do. It's a really unique and interesting location. It's at the Earth Sciences Building. It's accessible 24/7. Any day of the year, you can go there to do that earth cache. It uses some magnificent wall-sized slabs of rock that form the exterior of that Earth Sciences Building to illustrate some lessons in introductory geology and let you get up and personal with some samples of rock that you may otherwise never encounter.
Very cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of a neat one.
We're hearing that it's quite well done and super fun.
Super fun. Awesome. And I would imagine because it's so accessible that if you're fairly new to earth caching, it'd be a great one to start with. But terrain one.
It is. Well, and the beautiful thing about the campus at UBC is that there are a couple other earth caches there that are fairly easy to get to and cover different types of geology lessons. So, you know, it's a really great way to get going on it. I would also suggest another one called Camosun Bog, GC20 Echo X-ray Bravo, difficulty 2, terrain 1.5. Again, sort of introductory level geology. And that is in the Pacific Spirit Regional Park. That's the endowment lands, the park area I was talking about. It's a nice, easy walk around on some boardwalks in the bog. Makes for a very enjoyable visit. And the one thing I would give as a caveat, the largest challenge with that cache is finding parking. So you got to kind of plan your timing on that one. But it's a good one.
And I thought the challenge would be getting off the boardwalks and walking through the bog.
No, don't walk through the bog. Stay on the boardwalks. There's lots of signage to tell you that. One other earth cache out at that campus, and we're probably going to have a little bit of fun with this one, is called Tower Beach, Sea Cliffs from the Ice Age. It's GC49 Charlie Golf, and the difficulty is a 2.5. The terrain's a 3, so this one's a little trickier to get to. It's just down from the university campus on the beach.
Oh, Wreck Beach.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if people are really familiar with Wreck Beach or not, but
I am.
You know, this earth cache is open to the public year round, but to be aware that Wreck Beach is a clothing optional beach,
as so, they all should be.
Something to just be aware of if perhaps you're planning to take your children to go do this earth cache. But it's another great earth cache, and again a very different geology lesson from the other two, so you can get a nice triad of earth caches just from that visit. So yeah, definitely I would say, and that's, I'm just talking, of course, you know, of course I'm going to talk earth caches, but there's some good multis, there's a bunch of traditionals, some mystery caches as well, some really interesting ones. It's just a really great place to go and spend the day geocaching. So there you go. Something you might not have thought about, University of British Columbia.
Interesting. So if the naked truth were to be told, is KMACD as
yes.
stated.
There you go.
Nice. So
probably this time of year is, yeah.
Yeah, you probably don't have to worry too much about that particular issue this time of year.
Yeah, yeah, that's for sure. Now, there's been a lot of chatter, fatass, about other areas in Greater Vancouver where there's some great caches. So, you know, you guys keep them coming in the show notes. We're going to grab, later on, we're going to grab all your different hints and tips and caches that you're advising. This is going to become a regular series on our podcast where we're going to pick cities. We're going to bounce all over the Northwest. So we were kind of focusing on Vancouver as the city of Vancouver, and we mentioned the other towns, but we're going to come back later in the year and we're going to maybe pick, or maybe even next year as we go, we're going to pick different cities in the Greater Vancouver area and talk about some of the caches there as well over time. But, you know, we really want to bounce this around the Northwest. So we're going to take a look at cities in Washington State, in, we'll look at Idaho, Montana, Oregon. We want to really bounce around. So if one of those cities is your hometown and you're listening to us right now, if I am in your head right at this moment and I'm talking about your hometown, well, I'm not talking about your hometown, but you want us to talk about your hometown, send us an email, send us a voice message, tell us about the top caches that you think really show off your hometown. And we'll include those when we feature your town.
Definitely. Well, I mean, we've only, I can't even say we scratched the surface. We've just barely touched on some of the great caching in and around Vancouver. If you find yourself going up there for some reason, maybe it's willingly, maybe it's not, we never know. Reach out to us and, you know, we'll help you with some of the caches that we've found that, you know, you really need to stop and see these. And of course, you know, feel free to share with the rest of the community what you think the best caches are in those areas. You can leave comments on the YouTube page. You can leave comments on cachingnw.com. All sorts of different places. Comment on what you think the best caches are. Because really, it's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we've planned out shows for, well, quite some time. But the next show we're going to have, December 28th, is the Caching in the Northwest Christmas Fun. We are going to have a lot of fun on that show. You'll probably want to join in.
I think you will.
After that, January 4th, new year, new ideas. That's 2018 at Geocaching Headquarters with our friend, Rock Chalk.
Yay, Rock Chalk. Always a welcome guest on the show. Well, now that once we're in the new year, second show of the year, January 11th, show number 233. Well, that one's something special. You're not going to want to miss it, and I'm not going to tell you too much more about it, but you're going to want to be here on Thursday night, January 11th. And a week later, we're going to return to the Top Cache Tips series that we just started in Vancouver. Going to come south from one host's town to another host's town, Tacoma, Washington. Hey, I know where that is.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one because I've barely touched the geocaching in Tacoma, and I've seen some great ones when I've been there, and, you know, used the methodology Chris was talking about earlier of sort of cherry picking some favorites. But I'm sure there's some great ones that I've missed out on, so I'm really looking forward to you guys showcasing your hometown.
Yeah, and I know there's great ones I've missed out on, so I'm looking forward to it as well.
Great arm. All right. Well, you know what? We're wrapping up the show here, and we want to thank our faithful Denali level supporters. That's Team Squirrel and WorldCaching.com. And we want to thank all of our patrons who are supporting us and putting this podcast on every week. Thank you very much, every one of you. And if you want to know more about supporting the show, make sure to click the Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. Now, our patrons are, and thank you to each and every one of you, Subway Mark, Cachemaniacs, Dora Moore, Dune Buddy, Kid Vegas 19, Geo Nav Pros, Wino Seattle, Acker Doc, OBX Geek, Camp Clan, B Pen Dragon, Billy Robson, and KMAC D.
Woohoo. You're still making it in one breath. So
you guys got to make it harder for me.
We're going to try to add some more and get that list. But we thank all of those people. And if any one of those patrons or really anybody wanted to get in touch with one of you or us hosts between now and next Thursday, where could maybe find somebody to contact you? How could they do that on the interwebs? I mangled that. Land Monkey, take it away.
Hey, well, you know what? You can find us on YouTube because just last night I released a new video. Finally, it's been 2.5 months since I've had a new video up there, and it's a pretty cool one. I won't give too much more away than that, but I would encourage you to check that. So, of course, on YouTube, just search Land Monkey, LANMONKEY, and you'll find us. You'll always find us very active on Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. We're at LandMonkeyGC. The GC is important because somebody else scooped at LandMonkey before I started geocaching. So there you go, at LandMonkeyGC. And that's kind of the two best ways. We're also on Facebook, but pretty much Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, and YouTube. That's where we are. Wits End, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Where do people find you?
Let's see if I can do this a little better. You know, I don't always read everything that's put in front of me. I'm actually kept quite busy. But I am Wits End on Twitter, Facebook, Geocaching, LO, google.com/plus Wits End US. But who ever goes there? But really, if you just search for Wits End on most social media platforms, there I will be. Chris of the Northwest, how about you?
Well, I learned from you, my social media master Jedi. And I'm Caching NW. You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, Google+, or head on over to cachingnw.com/hosts and read our bios and find all those links that we just mentioned.
Fantastico. Folks, we want to thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this very episode of Caching in the Northwest. Thank you for putting us in your head tonight. And while we're here, I want to remind you that you can be a part of this show by calling 253-693-TFTC, leaving us a comment, asking us a question, or, hey, send us some stocking stuffers any time of day or night. Of course, you can email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Also, as we've said, your support helps to keep quality shows coming. So if you like this show, if you're enjoying this intimate experience with the three of us talking to you directly and just spending quality time with you in your car or at the bus stop bobbing your head, you know, click that Patreon link on the CachingNW.com website. A reminder, the show is produced by Kristen Finauer and Jason Kennedy, hosted by Chris Jason and Jim Pelwitz. The show is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2017, for one more show, by Chris Infenauer. Stay tuned for
The After Show. Oh, yes. Enjoy yourselves.
Yeah. Hey, folks. Thanks for sticking through the normal show. We are now starting the after show. And, you know, for the next few episodes, I'm going to do a little teaching. This after show is just a time where we maybe have one or two topics of news that we want to cover that, you know, may have not fit perfectly into the episode, but we still think it's worthy to talk about. It's a chance for us to address all your hashtag FATAS notes that you've put in the chat during the show.
And there was a lot this show.
It was very busy this show. And, you know, it's kind of like us sitting around a coffee shop just chatting. Now, you don't have to listen to this. If you're pressed for time, we completely understand. You've listened to the main segment of the show. It's fine. Go on. Go do something else. But if you want to stay around and listen, we welcome you. Go ahead and grab that hot cup of cocoa and join us for
The After Show.
Sometimes I wonder if that's Buckland.
Oh.
It probably is.
It's just all the amount of snow you have blowing around in your studio there, Land Monkey.
Yeah. I know. It's a winter. It's a veritable winter wonderland, I have to say, up here. I am so excited. I think we're going to have a white Christmas.
We got chance for snow tomorrow, which would probably not give us a chance for a white Christmas, but
yeah, Steve Poole said tonight there's a very slim chance that we might actually have a white Christmas down here, but I'm not
if
holding
Steve
my breath.
Steve Poole said it, you know, Steve
I know,
Poole,
usually trust
the
him.
Weatherman. Yeah, you got to trust him.
Well, you don't have to, but well, we've actually got snow on the ground up here in the Metro Vancouver area, and it's kind of frozen over, turned into, you know, packed snow ice. but we were supposed to get some tonight. I didn't really see it happen, but you know, I guess it's always depends where you are. But they're calling for more snow on Christmas Eve day, so I'm quite excited about that.
What number do I have to call in to get more snow?
253-693-TFTC.
That's 8382, as GeoNavPros put in the chat.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, after show thing I want to throw out, if folks haven't heard about it yet, and if you haven't heard about it, then it's not due to a lack of effort on my part of blasting my social media channels about it. But I was honored by our good friends at Geocaching HQ by being given some of those Magic the Gathering Rivals of Ixalan trackables to hand out. So I ran a contest. You guys have been awesome with all the contributions and feedback. I have been picking winners every evening this week. So we announced Anthony Kearns was our winner for tonight. I announced that just before the show. Subway Mark won last night. So congrats, Subway Mark, if you're listening.
Yeah.
And there's still more winners, or at least one more winner to be drawn tomorrow. And who knows what'll happen after that, because then we're almost at Christmas. But there's definitely one more winner being drawn tomorrow, Friday night. And, you know, it's not too late to get into the contest. If you just check out Landmonkey GC, look for posts that contain the word geocaching and magic, and just like and retweet them, and you'll be entered in to win one of those cool Magic the Gathering TBs.
Cool. How Sounds very good. Nice. And the winning just goes on and on.
It does.
Because we should have announced it last week, but we didn't. The winners for the hashtag Wish I Was Caching contest. That's Doramore, Brylang, Tick Magnet, and Limax. So each of you have been sent an early Christmas gift with a very special thanks to Lisa and JD at cash-advance.com. You've gotten a cash crate of your very own with a bonus trackable thrown right in.
Oh, bonus. Everybody yeah. loves bonuses.
Mm-hmm. So we thank you and everyone who's participated in this hugely successful hashtag Wish I Was Caching contest. I was shocked that we actually trended on Twitter for a bit. So you guys, you're just utterly amazing.
Yeah, that was awesome. That was so much fun. We mm-hmm. really enjoyed that contest and the great creative posts you guys were posting around the yeah. different ways you were using hashtag Wish I Was Caching. And, you know, all four of the winners, you guys came up with some really creative and fun ways of using the hashtags, and everybody did. But, you know, in the end, we had to, you know, had to draw the winners, and those are the folks who won, and well deserved.
Exactly. So we're going to do another contest like that. I thought it was a lot of fun. And, you know, Starcashers is not really a Twitter person. Well, you know, maybe we'll do something else. But we enjoy the contests like that. Now, we had mentioned at the start of the show in the news section about the free day, the first hike. It's a free day at the Washington State Parks. You don't need a Discover Pass. Even if you don't go on the hike, you can still go into the park free that day. And the Washington State Parks have posted their schedule for 2018 for the free days. So I'm going to read these off quickly. Of course, you have the luxury of stopping the podcast, backing it up, and saying, hey, that might fit with my schedule. So we got free days on January 1st, January 15th, March 19th, April 4th, April 22nd, June 2nd, June 9th, June 10th, August 25th, September 29th, November 11th, and November 23rd. So as we roll along the year, I'll bring those up every now and again and say, hey, you know what? Next month is another free day at the Washington State Parks. So there you go.
Very cool. In the chat, hashtag FTAS, Dormore says, is anyone going to brave this? It's GC7G04A. So I looked it up. It's Graphinator's first ever polar bear swim event.
Ooh, man.
You know, every year on New Year's Day, I see clips of the polar bear swims. And every year I think, not going to be me.
You know, it's funny. 20 years ago, I thought, yeah, I should do that. Now I look at it and go, no way.
No.
It would take me a month and a half to warm up again.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to do the 300 club sometime, but not doing the polar bear club. So, Brylang commented that he'll be there watching Dormore.
And GeoNavPros is going to try to be there.
Okay. Now, just being there and actually being and participating there are two different things, right?
I suppose. People are probably going to log their will attends in the form of, I will be there to sign the log. But it's in the water.
You can clearly go as a geocaching event, sign the log, and you were there. You don't have to go in the water.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's at Albert Dick Park in Abbotsford. That's actually really close to the border.
Oh, so it's farther south, so it's warmer?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's only about a kilometer, maybe 2 kilometers north of the border, out in the Abbotsford area. And it's a lake where in the summertime they actually have, it's kind of crazy. It's not a big lake, but they actually have like water skiing stuff going on in there.
Hmm.
I've seen, but.
And ice skating in the winter.
Well, it may have some ice on it this year. It'll be interesting to see what happens. And I don't know if this is if there's actually a larger actual polar bear swimming event that goes on there, that this event will happen near that. I don't know, but I guess we'll find out. It'll be interesting. So there you go. Polar bear swim. All right. What else have we got going
on? Well, Keats Morton.
Yeah.
Keats 94 says, I had a memorable find on Bowen Island a couple of days ago. Now, Land Monkey took me to Bowen Island in an attempt to murder me, I'm convinced.
Yes, and?
Okay.
Your point? Yeah.
Oh, wait. He didn't deny it this time. No, it was a great day. We did some great caching. Bowen Island, there doesn't seem to be a level spot on that island. You're either going up at a 90-degree angle or coming down the other side at a 90-degree angle.
It's an island. Of course it's not going to be flat and level.
Oh, yeah. I guess the water all around is flat.
Well, we walked to an island.
So Keats found himself on a mountain in the dark with a giant wooden mammoth standing guard.
Hmm.
The dimming light made for an eerie sight.
Yeah, that's...
It would.
You know, the funny thing is, when you came with us, Mrs. Landmonkey and I found that.
Mm-hmm.
That same mammoth. But I don't think you and Brylang made it up to that part of the hike.
We did not. We stopped. I think we stopped 500 feet before that mammoth.
Yeah.
And one of the other hikers came down and told us about, oh, you need to go see it. So we almost went up there. We're like, what?
It kinda counts.
He goes, it's just right up there. Oh, maybe we can. And then I think about that time we saw you coming down. So,
GeoNavPros, Mr. GeoNavPros came up there with us, and it was really interesting. I took actually some footage and some photos, but I haven't released them because there's a sign right there at this sculpture that says, please don't post any information about the sculpture. So even there's a cache right near it,
mm-hmm.
like almost right beside it. And even in our cache page description, to respect the artist's wishes, we didn't mention the mammoth in there, just to that he didn't want it to be known. He wanted people to sort of come across it by accident, as it were.
Sure.
Of course, now here we are telling the whole story, but
there's nobody here
just
but
us.
Yeah. But it's very cool. It's very cool.
Very cool. Well, Chris, you mentioned you were there with Brylang, and Brylang chimed in the chat earlier. You guys were having a discussion about, well, Hitler. And apparently there's a law about discussions where Hitler arises. It's called Godwin's Law. It says, as an online discussion grows longer, the probability of a comparison involving Hitler approaches one.
Fair enough. Yeah, so, I think that's probably highly accurate. I would not argue with that in the slightest.
I love
and
it.
If I did, I'd probably compare you to Hitler.
Right, exactly. Well, yeah.
And if it's not Hitler, it's hot enough to never mind.
Oh, nice weather comparison there.
Absolutely. So we had also Startcacher in the chat had a hashtag Fatas. He said, I have hidden at least one geocache a month for each of the last 25 months.
That's impressive.
That is impressive. He says it's actually a total of 30 hides. He says, my goal is to hide at least one geocache for every 100 finds. Wow, that is really contributing. And he goes on to say, hiding one a month seems to keep me ahead of that pace. I plan to continue that pace for the foreseeable future. Says he also put a few caches out during the winter months that have
few caches published.
Few caches for the winter, yeah. So if you need to fill in that grid.
Oh, okay. Nice. That's cool.
Yeah, so very, very thoughtful.
Disconnected reading that sentence. Okay, got it. Very cool, Starcacher. That is awesome. You know, people who contribute to the game by helping to fill the map is always appreciated.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an incredible streak to publish a cache a month.
Yeah.
My hat's off. In fact, my hat's already off. My hat would be off to you if I had a hat on. GeoNavPros says, this is one of the most enjoyable episodes since I've become a patron.
Well, thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, it is fun to be a tourist in your own area. You know, that's sometimes what we don't do. You know, just the other day I had mentioned, you know, somebody says, well, where's a good hotel in your area? I don't know. I don't know the hotels because I don't stay at them.
Yeah. Fair enough.
I can tell you where the expensive ones are, but I don't know which ones the good ones necessarily are.
I can tell you where the air mattress is in my closet if you want my living room floor. It's not open to everybody, but a few. Oh. You never know.
There you go, putting stipulations on it.
Well, it's not open to you because you live in Tacoma, so that's why.
Oh, yeah. And, well, the air mattress probably only holds two, maybe three comfortably, so it can't be that many at a time.
Well, we have a lottery.
And it only holds air until 2 or 3 in the morning, so.
That's somebody else's air mattress.
That depends, yeah. That can happen, too. He got a good, you got a good half-night sleep.
That's funny.
Oh, boy. Hey, Team Finn says, join us at GC7 Echo Kilo Whiskey Delta for our last event of the year. That's Saturday, December 30th from 12 to 2 at Yummy Teriyaki in the Kent East Hill.
I like teriyaki.
I wonder if the name is Yummy Teriyaki or it's a description of Yummy Teriyaki.
I think that's the name of the store, I believe, the restaurant.
Yeah, I would expect as much. But so there you go.
Team Finn was doing an event a month.
Exactly.
Is this the end, or are they going to continue into next year?
That's the end for 2017, I think.
Right. Okay.
Wits End, you've got a candidate for the air mattress already.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there you go. Sure, come on down.
Hold on. You guys keep talking amongst yourselves. I'm scrolling back.
Okay. So.
So. So while he's scrolling back, I don't want to take us too far off topic, but let me backtrack a little ways to where I made a vocal faux pas, in my opinion. Thank you. Nobody commented on it, but when I talked about derailing the show by talking about Tolga at Booth Pace, I thought that maybe the term derailing was not the right term to use this week, and wanted to note that I did not mean to be insensitive, and obviously our thoughts and prayers are with everybody that was involved with the rail accident right here just south of where Chris and I live. And I wanted to tell all of you out there in our listener world that I'm very grateful to be here tonight because I love trains and I last week was actually making plans to be on that train Monday morning, thinking, wouldn't it be fun to be on the very first run in the new high-speed rail line? And my plans changed, and I wasn't able to make it happen, and here I am. But you never know. And so as we approach Christmas on Monday, I'm glad to be here with my family. I'm glad to be here with all of you guys. And, you know, make sure you hug your loved ones on Christmas.
Yeah,
you never absolutely. Know what happens. In the blink of an eye, it all changes.
Absolutely. Switching back to the show, there was another hashtag Fitas from Team Finn, who encouraged folks to join them on Sunday, December 31st at GC7 Foxtrot Whiskey November Whiskey, an event they're co-hosting. And remember, folks, that there are two souvenirs up for grabs if you attend an event or find a cache December 31st and January 1st. You will get yourself a pair of matching souvenirs. So that's kind of cool.
Yep, definitely.
Yeah, already pouring in there on the chat. Folks are glad that you didn't take the train, Wits End. So there you go.
Yeah, yeah. I said something about derailing the subject earlier, and in my mind, I cringed as I said it. I thought, let's just roll on past that and come back to that later. So, no. Yeah.
But I agree. Our thoughts and prayers are with the folks affected by that.
Yeah.
In various ways. I couldn't hardly believe it when it caught my attention trending on Twitter in the morning at work, and I saw that. So, the first thing I did was I sent a message to my good mm-hmm. friends, Chris and Jim, just to say, hey, you guys, your friends, your family, everybody okay?
Yeah, I appreciate that. I had family in California asking me if I was anywhere near that as well.
Absolutely. That was crazy, crazy.
Yeah, so none of our families were involved, but still, it's tragic. And, you know, I don't have to tell you that I-5 is such a major corridor up and down Washington State and Oregon that you close a section of it and chaos ensues. There's really no other way to get north and south in the Northwest except for I-5.
Yeah.
So, you know, obviously saddened and concerned for the number of people on the train who were injured or killed by that accident, but absolutely amazed, if what I heard is correct, that no one who was driving on the I-5 was seriously injured or killed by having a freaking high-speed train drop on the I-5 in rush hour. Like, how that didn't end up a worse accident is, you know, a miracle in itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely. So, people are blessed all the way around.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, folks, thank you so much for listening to Cashing in the Northwest. We appreciate each and every one of you. So, as Christmas rolls around, you're our gift, and we appreciate it. And until next week, get out and get cashing in the Northwest.